Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you all. What a great looking crowd. If you brought your Bible, I'd like you to turn there with us this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you didn't bring a Bible, you'll find one hopefully under the seat in front of you, and turn with us, read along with us, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 14. And if you're not sure where that is, it's page 1323. Lord, I thank you for this holy gathering. Thank you for all these folks who have gathered to worship you. And what a celebration it is. I pray your blessing upon your word this morning, that you would bring it clearly to each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is a great celebration, and there's much excitement here, and I don't want to dampen that, but I would like you to consider for a few minutes a terrible scenario. I'd like you to consider a scenario where Easter never happened, where Christ is not risen, where Jesus died on the cross and they took his lifeless body down. They wrapped his lifeless body in grave clothes. They put his body in a tomb, and they sealed that tomb with a stone. And that's it. Story over. Where would we be? What would things be like? Paul gives us that very scenario in our text this morning. I want you to read through it very carefully with me. Beginning in verse 14, Paul writes, "If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." What a horrendous scenario to consider. Paul mentions five awful things if Christ is not risen. First, he mentions that if Christ is not risen, then all preaching is empty. Look at verse 14. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. Preaching is the hallmark activity of the church and has been so for the last 2,000 years. Preaching is the proclamation of the gospel message, the good news by which people are saved. It's the most important thing that the church does. If Christ is not risen, that preaching is empty, a word that means vain, hollow, meaningless. Paul, he preached a lot of sermons in his day. So did Peter, James, John, and all the other apostles of the early church. If Christ is not risen, their preaching is vain. Think of all the preaching that's happened over the last 2,000 years of church history. Countless sermons. Think of the great preachers. I've been studying the life of Charles Spurgeon. I can't wait to share what I've learned about him this Wednesday night. He's the prince of preachers. He preached 3,500 sermons at the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. John Wesley preached 40,000 sermons. I don't even know how he did that. Billy Graham preached to 215 million people worldwide over all of his crusades. And that's just a few. Think of the thousands and thousands and thousands of sermons from thousands of preachers preached over the last 2,000 years. Think of the thousands of sermons that are being preached right now in pulpits all across the world. The thousands of sermons that are preached on the radio, on TV, in podcasts, on the internet. The thousands of sermons contained in songs and books. All of that would be empty, meaningless. Now, I know there are some that think that all preachers are full of hot air. And that might be true of some. But that would actually be true of all preachers of all time if Christ is not risen. I hated thinking about that this week. I've been preaching for 27 years. I'm closing in on 2,500 sermons from this pulpit. Amen. All that study time, all that prep time, all the study and prep time of preachers throughout the ages, empty, if Christ is not risen. Verse 14 also says, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is also empty. Same word, vain, meaningless, hollow. In verse 17, it says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. That's a word that means to no purpose, fruitless. Christian, you may have placed all of your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but if he's not risen, you built your house on the sand. It's a chasing after the wind. It's shooting at the stars, trying to catch your shadow. Your faith would be utterly futile. And why? Why? Well, because you've put your faith in a dead man if Christ is not risen. Dead men can't help you. As one author so graphically puts it, take out the resurrection of Jesus and there's nothing left on which to rest faith, only the decomposing corpse of an itinerant Jewish carpenter turned rabbi. Your faith is empty. And I would add to that, the whole Christian faith would be futile, empty, if Christ is not risen. All of Christianity would collapse, crumble, like a house of cards. Without an empty tomb, Christianity is an empty religion. There's nothing to it. Imagine waking up tomorrow morning to a headline like this. Dateline Jerusalem. In the aftermath of the annual celebration of the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, the city was shocked by the announcement that a decomposed body identified as that of Jesus was found in a long-neglected tomb. Initial reaction of Christians here and around the world has been one of astonishment and bewilderment. We will have to wait and see just what effect this discovery will have on the 2,000-year-old religion. But it appears that Christianity can no longer claim that, unlike other religions, the tomb of its founder is empty. A 2,000-year-old lie has come to an end. What would be the reaction? I'll tell you what the reaction would be. The church would collapse. There'd be no Christianity. A religion with a dead founder is a dead religion. There's nothing there. We'd be like just all of the other dead, empty religions. You know, every year, thousands and thousands and thousands of Muslim males visit the tomb of Muhammad in Saudi Arabia to give respect and pay homage to their dead founder. At the cemetery of Confucius in Jining, China, thousands come to visit the tomb of Confucius and the 100,000 graves of his descendants. If Jesus is not risen, every year there'd be thousands and thousands of Christian pilgrims visiting a tomb somewhere to give respect to their dead founder. The whole Christian faith would be empty. And every organization built upon the Christian faith would be empty. Every established church, mission, orphanage, halfway house, rescue mission, chapel. It'd all be meaningless. If Christ is not risen, everything about Christianity is an utter waste of time, effort, and resources. If he's not risen. Paul adds to this horrific scenario in verse 17. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. If Christ is not risen, your sins are not forgiven. You remain in your sins and you will be judged for your sins. And this is why you've put your faith and trust in a dead Savior. That faith is futile. And since that is true, your sins could not be forgiven. Salvation is not possible if Christ is not risen. You may have sincerely put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but you're not saved if Christ is not risen. Your sins are not forgiven. Now, gang, that completely dismantles the whole concept of Christian salvation. Christian salvation is the forgiveness of sins. We are born sinners. We all have sinful natures, and our sin separates us from God. Our sin puts us under condemnation. If Christ is not risen, the sin problem remains unsolved. What a horrid place to be. Now, some of you might have a question, and it's a really good question. The question might be, is the resurrection of Jesus necessary for our salvation? I mean, the message of the gospel appears to be that if Jesus dies on the cross for our sins as our substitute, then our sins are forgiven. And Jesus bore our sins at the cross, and he died on the cross for our sins. And you remember at the end, right before he died, what did he say? It's finished, it's complete. You remember the temple veil was separated in two the moment that Jesus died. Isn't the death of Jesus Christ alone on the cross sufficient for the salvation of sinners? No, it's not. His resurrection is also needed. We are saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, if Jesus died, then you're putting your faith in a dead Savior, and a dead Savior can't save you. Our salvation comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They go hand in hand. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, he, Jesus, was delivered up because of our offenses, that is, killed for our sins, and he was raised up because of our justification. He died and he arose again so that our union with him brings salvation. You can think of it this way, and this is so important. The resurrection of Jesus Christ 3 days later gives us the full assurance that his sacrifice at the cross was accepted in the courtroom of heaven. You could think of the resurrection as the successful conclusion to a financial transaction. On the cross, Jesus wrote the check. On Resurrection Sunday, the check cleared the bank of heaven. At the end, at the cross, when Jesus said, "It is finished," on Resurrection Sunday, God the Father said, "Amen." So it's very clear in the scripture. No resurrection, no salvation. If Christ is not risen, you are still in your sins. The remedy is no longer available. You know, I think one of the greatest medical discoveries ever in the history of the human race is antibiotics. Did you know Dr. Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin in 1928? Did you know that antibiotics is less than 100 years old? What if antibiotics was never discovered? Or even worse, what if suddenly, overnight, antibiotics stopped working? It'd be horrific. We'd go back to what life was like before there was antibiotics. Antibiotics have increased average life expectancy in the developed world by as much as 20 years. There's no antibiotics. You may have died 20 years ago. Before antibiotics, 90% of children with bacterial meningitis died. Among those children who lived, most had severe and lasting disabilities from deafness to mental health issues. Every year, thousands of children died of infectious diseases like pneumonia and tuberculosis. Before antibiotics, infant mortality was around 1 in 20. It's now 3.5 deaths per 1,000. Listen, before antibiotics, a simple scratch or graze could kill you. Thank God for antibiotics, right? And we just take that as norm. Well, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's no cure for the greatest disease of the human race, sinfulness. There's no remedy. Paul continues, verse 18, oh, if Christ is not risen, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have what? They've perished. If Christ is not risen, all who have died are gone, including Christians. A person who's placed their faith in Jesus Christ, if Christ is not risen, that person dies, that person perishes. All your Christian relatives, gone forever. Every funeral service would be the final farewell. You know, during these times of holidays like Easter and Christmas, we greatly miss the loved ones that have died. We miss those great memories of spending special times with special people. Maybe you've lost a grandparent, maybe a parent, maybe a sister, a brother, maybe a spouse, maybe even a child, maybe a dear friend who you miss terribly. If Christ is not risen, they're gone. They've perished. There's no reunion coming. It's important to understand this word, perish. The word never means annihilation or cessation of being. As Vine has pointed out, it's not loss of being, but rather loss of well-being. It speaks of ruin as far as the purpose for which a person or thing was created. Those who have died have perished. They enter eternal darkness and separation and isolation outside the goodness of God forever. That grieved my heart so much. I have a lot of people in heaven that I can't wait to see. How about you? I had some godly grandparents who I miss dearly, and I can't wait to see them. Two of my best friends, one that I've known since middle school and one since high school, both of them died young men from cancer. And to think that they perished. I don't know if you know this. I think I've shared it a few times, but I do have two younger brothers that died when I was very young. I don't remember it, but it was a horrific thing for my parents. I have a little brother named Ricky Gray who died on his third day of life. I also have a little brother who died in my mom's womb. A few weeks before her due date. And I've even had dreams. I've had dreams of meeting my little bros. If Christ is not risen, those dreams won't happen. They've perished. Gang, do you understand? If Christ is not risen, there is zero hope beyond the grave. Paul sums up this terrible scenario in verse 19. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. That's a word that means miserable, wretched. One author put it, if the Christian faith is thus based on an empty gospel and a fraudulent savior, anybody's better off than a Christian. You know, there's a lot that could be said for following Jesus in this life. To follow his teachings, to follow his example. And I believe you would live a better than average life if you tried to live your life that way. But if there's no heaven, if you only have hope in this life, how wretched. How pitiable. If Christ is not risen, there's no hope. It's just here. Here we all are. 75, 80 years wandering around on this planet. No hope beyond. Years ago, the S-4 submarine was rammed by another ship and quickly sank. The entire crew was trapped in its prison house of death. Ships rushed to the scene of disaster off the coast of Massachusetts. We don't know what took place down in that sunken submarine, but we can only be sure that men clung bravely to life as the oxygen slowly gave out. A diver placed his helmeted ear to the side of the vessel and listened. He heard a tapping noise. Someone, he learned, was tapping out a question in the dots and dashes of the Morse code. The question came slowly. Is there any hope? And there was no hope. They perished. That's what life would be like for us if Christ is not risen. This world would be one of despair. We'd live in despair. We'd be like the
atheist who wrote in his autobiography, "What else is there to make life tolerable? We stand on the shore of an ocean, crying to the night, and in the emptiness, sometimes a voice answers out of the darkness. But it's the voice of one drowning, and in a moment, the silence returns." That's what it would be. Or everything in this world would be some vain exercise, some meaningless exercise in worldly vanity. The American journalist Emile Henry Gavreau spent the bulk of his career covering the entertainment Hollywood scene. Towards the end of his life, as he was about to die, he said, "I was a part of that strange race of people, aptly described as spending their life doing things they detest, to make money they don't want, to buy things they don't need, to impress people they dislike." That would wrap up life if Christ is not risen. All preaching is empty. Personal faith is empty. The whole Christian faith is empty. We're still in our sins. All perish in death. And we are the most pitiable. What a nightmare. Are you ready to wake up from the nightmare? Christ is risen. Christ is alive. The angel did say to the women at the tomb, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. The stone was rolled away. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. His sacrifice on the cross was accepted. He has defeated death. Today, thousands and thousands and thousands of pilgrims visit the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem every year, not to pay homage to a dead founder, but to step inside an empty tomb." Amen. And here's the reality. Preaching is not empty. It's full of power and life. And thousands and thousands and thousands of souls over the last 2,000 years have responded to the gospel. And they've been saved. The Christian faith is not empty. It's full of power and life and meaning. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, your faith is not empty. Your faith is operative. It's infused with power because Jesus is alive. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, all your sins have been forgiven. You have been saved. Christ is risen, and you will see your loved ones. There will be a great reunion. Christ is risen. And if you die, you will not perish. You will be with him forever. Christ is risen. Christians are the happiest, most hopeful, most joyful people on planet Earth. Amen. As one person said of Christians, "We are the Easter people, and hallelujah is our song." That's the reality. That's why there's so much joy. Have you entered into that reality? You know, it's sad. There are people that will spend their whole lives as if Christ never came. Never went to a cross, never died for the sins, never rose again the third day. Year after year, Easter services come and go, Christmas services come and go, and people, there are many people who will never even understand or try to understand or take that seriously for themselves personally, what that personally means. Have you
Have you personally discovered for yourself the meaning of Easter? Have you entered, have you joined the company of the redeemed? If you place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, your faith will be full. Your sins will be forgiven. You will have the hope of heaven when you die. You need to do that personally. You need to enter into that personally. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, if you surrender, if you come to Him, He'll put everything together in your life. I heard about a father who went into a toy store to buy his son a Christmas present. The salesman showed him a new educational toy. It came unassembled, but no matter how the child put the pieces together, they wouldn't fit. You see, the toy was designed to teach the child how to deal with life. Thanks, Dad. Such is the predicament of man without God. He's never, ever able to put his life together. A life without Christ is a life of utter futility. Let Jesus put your life together. Let Him save you. Enter in to what Jesus has done for you. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Lord, our hearts are so full of joy. We're so grateful to know You. We thank You for salvation. We thank You for a hope that's real. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I really do want to ask you that question. Have you entered in? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you tried to find all the fulfillment in this world? And you've discovered it's all vanity. It doesn't satisfy. Look, you were built. You were born. You were created to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And right now, He can save you. You say, well, how can I enter in? How can I be saved? You must put your faith and trust in Jesus. Nobody else can do that for you. You have to do that. And you just, with a very simple prayer of faith, you cry out to God, you admit that you're a sinner. You ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. I would be absolutely delighted right now to lead you in that prayer. If you've never done so and you know you need Jesus, I want you to indicate that. Nobody else is looking, but I want you to raise your hand up high so I can see it. God bless you right there. And you. And you. And you. Anybody else? In the back, I see your hand. Anybody else? Raising your hand, it's like you're reaching up to heaven. You're reaching up to God for help. I see you. God bless you. I need you, Lord. I need you to save me. I know several right now are watching online. If you need to receive Christ right now, right there in the quietness of your home, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. For those of you who raised your hand, for those of you who acknowledge, pray this prayer with me in the quietness of your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, I admit my need for You. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And thank you for rising again. Save me from my sins. Take away all my sins. Thank you for paying that price for me. Fill me with your Spirit. Make everything brand new in my life. And help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, my brother, my sister, if you prayed that prayer, man, your faith is operative. Christ is risen. We have a free gift for you if you prayed to receive Christ, and I have them stacked up on either side. We're going to have some elders up here in the front. It is a brand new Bible, and it's also a little card that will direct you to a class that I did a couple years ago on what are the next steps for a brand new believer or someone who's returning to the Lord. Come get one. Just come up and get one. Come up to one of us as we sing this last song or after the service and say, look, I raised my hand, and we'd love to pray with you and for you. Let's close.